Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Welcome to hour number three, also known as the championship rounds of Carlin versus Joe here on ESPN Radio alongside Q Myers. My name is Joe Fortenball. Welcome to the program. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Thank you for spending some of your time with us today. Big win for the Minnesota Timberwolves last night in blowout fashion over the Denver Nuggets as they take a 2-0 series lead, Game 3 Friday. We'll find out soon as to whether or not Jamal Murray will be suspended for Game 3 after throwing both a heating pad and a towel out onto the court within a minute of each other during the second quarter of the loss. Very bizarre situation, but the team very frustrated, no doubt, with the way things are playing out. Q, I got something for you.
Okay, come on with it, man.
The great Chris Canty this morning found himself in a situation where he was laying out his top five players that he would most like to build an NBA franchise around. This comes up, of course, because Anthony Edwards is just balling out for the Minnesota Timberwolves right now. 2-0 series lead, shocking so many people. A lot think that he's the next face of the NBA. So as all of this is taking place, people are starting now to have these conversations. After all, another man in this conversation, Victor Wembanyama, the rookie in San Antonio, unanimously won Rookie of the Year last night. So Canty was asked, top five players you would build a franchise around starting today. Number five, Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. Number four, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. Number three, Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. Number two, Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs. And number one, the aforementioned Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Here's Canty on why Edwards is his number one pick.
If we're talking about players that I want to start an NBA team with, there is nobody that I want more than Anthony Edwards. You're talking about him going into the defending reigning champ's house with a guy that's about to win his third MVP in four seasons. Him going into their house, putting his feet on their couch, going in their fridge, making himself a sandwich, grabbing the remote control, turning the TV to whatever channel he want to watch.
ESPN2 with unsportsmanlike.
Exactly. And just making himself all kinds of comfortable. All kinds of comfortable. But here's the thing, Smalls, beyond just the skill set, beyond just the athleticism, the thing that makes Ant-Man special is the mentality.
So there we go. The layout for Chris Canty, his number one player that he would build a team around today if he could choose from anyone in the NBA, it'd be Anthony Edwards. Q Myers, how do you see it?
Look, that's the resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Canty, and I got to agree with him. I think the Ant-Man is the guy, and I think that everyone's just now being introduced to him because he's on the big stage, which is the playoffs. I think we started to hear a lot about him during the regular season, what he could bring to the table and really how he jumps out the gym and has all these highlight plays. But, Joe, what does it for me, if I'm going to start a franchise and make him number one, he does it on both ends of the court. He will pick you up full court and get in. He will, like my dad says, he will eat your jersey, right? He'll put your jersey in his teeth and not let go. That's what gets it done for me, is he does it on both ends.
Okay, so you agree with him on Anthony Edwards. Who Absolutely. Would you have number two and who would you have number three? I think when we get to four and five, it kind of comes, it's up in the air.
Yeah.
But I want to know who two and three would be for you.
Jalen Brunson is number two for me. I've given him a lot of props.
Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson is number two for me. I love what he's doing.
Not
in New
even
York.
On Canty's list.
No, it's okay. Hey, look, sometimes, right. You know, when he zigs, I got to zag, right? That's how it is sometimes. You know, he's playing chess, I'm playing checkers, or whatever the case may be, right? Something like that. The case is, I got Jalen Brunson because what he's able to do, he's doing it on the biggest stage. He's doing it when people are saying that he can't do it because of his size. He's not going to be able to carry a franchise on his back. He's literally carrying that franchise on his back. I love what he was doing in Dallas. I love what he's doing even more in New York. So number two is Jalen Brunson for me, followed by Wemby at number three.
Followed by Wemby at three.
I love what Wemby's doing, but I love the Ant-Man and Jalen Brunson a little bit more.
All right, I'm going to disagree with both of you, respectfully, of course. That's how Joe Fortenball operates. That's how Joe Fortenball lives, respectfully in all regards. I Jokic isn't even in the top three for you? Jokic is number three for him?
He's number four for me.
Number four. For me. I mean, I still see him number one. Look, I understand, man, if we're building
any
today,
of my five are fantastic. Like, I'm happy are. if I leave the party with one of these five, I'm doing good for myself.
They are. I'm not doubting that. I think the Wembanyama angle is very interesting because GetUp did a version of this conversation yesterday, and the entire desk took Wemby. Wemby was number one across the board on behalf of everyone. They all took him. That's the guy they would build around. And it makes a lot of sense. He's kind of a freak, right? And the big concern in year one was, well, you know, how's that body type going to hold up? We've seen body types like that before struggle. He played 71 games.
It's still my concern over time. It's still legit concern over time. We see what happens with big men.
Very much so. Very much so. But he played 71 games. He played 29 minutes a game. He averaged over 20 points. He averaged close to four blocks a game. I mean, he was sensational on a really lousy team that better get their act together this offseason in terms of building up that roster. So I can understand why people would put him one. I can understand why people would put him two. Anthony Edwards has a great case. It feels like Jokic, it's like they go in this 2-0 hole, and the fact that he's sliding that far down the board, considering everything he brings to the table, I mean, he's headed towards his third MVP, should be his fourth.
Right. Yeah, it should be. For me, he just, he's a great player. I'll never take that away from him. But, you know, I'm a guy that likes a little bit of the flash. I'm a guy that likes a little bit of the pizzazz. I like a little bit extra. You know, Joker could put up a triple-double on a bad night and be like, well, you know, we scored and we won the game. That's not a discredit to him. It's just not my flavor. It's like we go to the store and we pick out Kool-Aids. The flavor you like, I might not be a big fan of.
There we go right there. If we are picking out Kool-Aids, now I got to ask, what's the flavor? What's number one?
I mean, it's red. It's red, but I got a place in my heart for purple.
Red, not a flavor.
Source.
Red, yeah, red is a color.
No. Hey, look, man, come on to my block. Come on to my block, homeboy. Red is definitely a flavor of Kool-Aid. I'm also a fan of Purple Saurus Rex, so there's that. Don't get me on my Kool-Aid soapbox, Joe. I'll take you there. I'll take it to church.
Q Myers, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Canty at number five, Jason Tatum. I'm not going to ask you to give me your exact spot for Jason Tatum, but does he make your top five?
No.
It's fascinating to me because Tatum is a fantastic player.
Yeah.
Healthy. He does it all. But the thing is, we want that crunch time, right? Like right now, part of why everyone's falling in love with Ant Edwards is on the big stage against, it's the David Goliath thing. That's right. What it always comes down to. People love the David Goliath angle. Right now, Goliath is Big Bad Denver, the defending champs. Minnesota is David, and David is putting a hurting on Goliath. If you look at Jalen Brunson, one of the reasons people love him this year is he's small by NBA standards, and he's putting up 40-banger after 40-banger against great teams in these NBA playoffs, like the Sixers. Not great teams, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. The Sixers, the Pacers. He's willing this team to victory, and people can get behind that. They love a story like that. And then there's Jason Tatum, where it's like, all right, man, numbers are really good. Talent's there. Very smooth. We've seen it for a while, but it's kind of like, where's that killer?
Right.
Like, where's that killer? Like, America has a hard time rallying around the front runner with all the stats and all the wins, but, like, doesn't get it done in the clutch. That's what people love. They want to see the story of the guy who comes out of nowhere and shows up big on the big stage. Like, Robert Horry. How many people will tell you they don't like Robert Horry? People that were on the wrong end of all those threes. But Robert Horry was that guy who you just would watch his team play, and they'd be talking about everyone but him right up until the most crucial moment in the game/series, and then he'd bury the biggest shot, and he just did it with ice water in his veins, man.
Big shot Rob, right? Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He was the guy. I'll tell you, man, my number five is actually a guy that he still has to prove it, but I think a lot of the world started to see it. And I say a lot of the world, maybe not, because the time that these guys were playing wasn't really necessarily that great. But how about Bankero? out of Orlando.
That's going to take a little time, but yeah.
Yes, but I'm
going to
go off the...
Those who watch basketball understand what's happening down there.
I'm going to go off the fact that I believe he could develop into that guy.
Hell yeah.
So that's why I would start, and he'd be fifth, but I would start a franchise with him on the trust that he's going to develop into that dude.
That series we just watched with the Magic was the classic, yup, you're too young, you've never been here before, this is going to be a good old-fashioned lesson for you. They won all their home games, they showed a lot of resilience and toughness, they played big, Banchero was great, Wagner was great, but ultimately they end up getting outdone by a team that had their own playoff shortcoming last year. Like the Knicks put it on the Cavs in that opening round. Now the Cavs show a little bit of fortitude that they learned from last year. They advance. The Magic are that team that next season, depending on how their offseason goes, could be very, very fun to watch and very, very dangerous in the Eastern Conference because there are a lot of tools there, especially that defense. Where's Luka on this list? Dude led the NBA in scoring. We didn't mention his name once during that conversation. Someone here doesn't even think his own team is building around him right now. That's coming up next. Q Myers, Joe Fortenball, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Couple of player props for the people. Tonight's game one showdown, Western Conference semifinals, Oklahoma City hosting Dallas. Player prop number one is going to be Luka Doncic under 9.5 rebounds. Follow me on this one. First four games of the Clippers series, he had 13 rebounds, 6 rebounds, 10 rebounds, 10 rebounds. So you're probably thinking, all right, Fortenball, why should we bet under 9.5 rebounds when he's clearly trending over 9.5 in the playoffs and he averaged close to 10 per game during the regular season? Excellent question on your behalf if you were inclined to ask that. Here's why. Luka is playing on a banged up knee. I think it's a sprained knee. I'm not certain of that, but I think that's what they called it. It happened during the series against the Clippers, and he's been a little bit more tentative in terms of going after the glass. Last two games of that series against the Clippers, he recorded, I believe, 7 rebounds in both those games. Seven. Like, well below his total. So he's not attacking it as much, and he's not coming away with as much. So pizza money number four is going to be Luka Doncic under 9.5 rebounds. We are going to play an over here. PJ Washington over 10.5 points with Maxi Kleber out for the series for the Mavericks. Other players are going to have to step up. They're going to get more shots. They're going to get more opportunities. Enter PJ Washington. 10 or more points in 5 of 6 games against the Clippers. Dropped a series high 14 points in game 6 when... Kleber exited the game early due to injury. So your two player props for tonight's showdown between the Thunder and the Mavericks, Luka under 9.5 rebounds, PJ Washington over 10.5 points. NBA playoffs, they're on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Thunder host the Mavs, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and on SiriusXM Channel 80. Q Myers, most people feel Boston will make short work of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. To sweep them, it's like, I don't know, plus 140 or something. Like, I don't think many people see that series going past five. The Knicks-Pacers series could be interesting, although the Knicks found a way to win game one. It was supposed to be the best series of the second round between Minnesota and Denver. Minnesota's up 2-0 going home. And then there's Oklahoma City-Dallas. And it feels like Oklahoma City is getting less pressed than everybody in the postseason. No one paid attention to the series against New Orleans, 4-0 sweep. And now, this game's starting a little bit later. I don't know how many people are focusing on this one when we've got some other matchups to look at, especially Boston leading off the night. And I wonder, just wonder, if this is going to be the best series of the second round. What do you think we're in for here? Because Vegas is pricing it very close. Thunder minus 120 to win the series.
I mean, I feel like it could be a really good series, right? OKC is fantastic. There's a reason why a lot of people aren't talking about OKC is they're not playing a lot of games, right? They're putting in short work with everybody, and they're a very young team, not to mention they have so much depth as well on their bench, and they're going to have more players being added to the squad as they still have, you know, draft picks to exercise. So, I mean, this team, I feel like they're built to be a really good team for a long time. Dallas here is really the big question mark I have, right? I mean, what Luka is going to show up, because he is banged up, and so I take that into account. And can Kyrie keep doing what Kyrie's been doing? Kyrie has been playing fantastic as far as I'm concerned. He's clearly in a good headspace right now, and we have to say that because he's not always in a good headspace. But right now, he's cooking. And even if he's not scoring a 40-point game, his points are effective. What he's doing on the court is effective defensively as well. I mean, he's laying it all on the line. This is the Kyrie that we saw win a championship with LeBron. This is who he is right now. I don't know how long you can keep that bottled up and how long he could play it at that level before he's not in that good headspace. But right now, appreciate what you're seeing in Kyrie Irving, who could create in a phone booth.
I'm glad you bring that up, because when he is quick to say something controversial, to do something that's deemed to be controversial, to not have a good game, to be perceived as a bad teammate, we are very quick to make him the headline. Yep. And we're very quick to bury him. We're very quick to criticize him. He wanted out of Cleveland, and then the situation in Boston didn't go well, and then the situation in Brooklyn took a unique turn, and then there was the vaccine conversation and not being able to play, and it was like at every turn, he seemed to be a lightning rod for controversy, mm-hmm. and more importantly, he seemed to be a very talented player who was doing anything but being talented on the basketball court. And now he's in Dallas. It seems like he's happy. It seems like the situation's flowing. He's playing extremely well. You don't hear about any issues in the locker room. You don't hear about any issues off the court. And it's not nearly as big a story. And I understand in this country, we look for controversy, and that's what leads. But it also feels kind of unfair to Irving that he's having a great year, playing well, being the consummate teammate, and not enough people are talking about it. I'm glad you went there when given the opportunity to talk about this series. You could have gone five or six directions. You chose that direction. He's been fantastic. I asked Carlin this last week. I do want to ask you the idea of, is this just a happy, different, changed Kyrie Irving? Or, you know, with a looming contract situation coming up, is he just playing nice right now to get what he ultimately wants? I got to ask it.
Right. No, and that's a fair question. I think that there's obviously going to be, you know, some area of that. You know, I think there's some of the contract, and I don't want to say playing nice, because I think he's just being him, but I think he understands business.
Yeah.
He's a smart dude. He's one of the smartest dudes in the league. Like, I mean, if you actually sit down and listen to him talk, you'll understand sometimes he's a little too smart for his own good. I also think, and this is just me, and I'll let it be known, I'll preface it with, I'm a Jason Kidd guy. I think Jason Kidd being the head coach also helps. A point guard that wasn't necessarily understood all the time while he was in the NBA, came into the league a little bit, you know, rough under the feathers a little bit, had this situation his rookie year where he flipped his vehicle, people were talking about this, that, and the other. He's gotten DUIs. He's been a little, you know, like I said, a little misunderstood at times. But
you are just airing it all out there, aren't you?
I mean, look, it's already documented. I'm just putting it out there, what's been put out there, right? I mean, hell, he had the situation in Dallas as a rookie, right? Going after the same woman,
right?
I mean, we can go all the way down that road, but I think Kidd somewhat says, hey, look here, little bro, I understand you. I'm not saying that everything you do is right and everything you say is right, but I understand.
Jason Kidd driving around catches this show today, and he's like, damn, why am I catching all this shrapnel?
I'm a Bay Area guy, Jay Kidd. Hey, man, I rock with you, man, all the way back to high school, homeboy.
Okay, so let's do this. Rest versus rust. Interesting situation last night in the Bruins-Panthers series. Game one, Panthers were very rested, made short work of the Lightning, got plenty of time off. Bruins went seven in an absolute war against Toronto where they almost blew a 3-1 series lead. So a lot of people think, all right, Florida should dust them early. It's a 48-hour turnaround. And the Bruins hammer them 5-1. Similar situation between the Avalanche and the Stars tonight. We already talked earlier, we do like the Avalanche, but I could be playing right into that bad situation. What do you make of this? OKC has played like 4 games in 3 weeks.
Right.
There was that final week of the season. They're not involved in the play-in. Then their tournament started, and they made short work of New Orleans. They won 4 games. They swept them. And then they've just basically been off waiting for this series to start. And meanwhile, Dallas is turning around a little bit quicker, having gone 6 with the Clippers. Is that a good thing for OKC or a bad thing?
I think it'll hurt them initially, right? Okay. I'm not saying it's going to hurt them the whole game, but I think coming out of the gates, I think when tip-off happens, you'll see a little bit of that rust, you know. And the thing is, the good thing about OKC is they're young, right? Kids don't know what kids don't know. So a lot of times they don't know that, hey, we've been off for this much time. We're just going to go out there and ball out. So I think it'll take them a little while to get into the rhythm of the game. The other side of this is Luka and that injury. How much will the fact that they had to play and they had to battle it out, how much is that going to hamper them, if any?
That's going to be big. Now, all of us are focusing on Anthony Edwards and what the Minnesota Timberwolves are doing. They were a fun story throughout the course of the year. Surprised a lot of people on their way to the 3 seed, I believe it was.
Yeah.
The 1 seed was actually Oklahoma City. A lot of parallels between the Thunder and the Wolves. Two young teams that were expected to be good this season. I don't think anyone expected them to be great. Minnesota has taken that big step forward, and Edwards is showing up big time in the playoffs. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, practically a cakewalk to 30 points every night during the regular season. His team is rested. His team is deep. He's the face of that organization. They're going to be in primetime here against the Dallas Mavericks. Are we sleeping a little bit on the Thunder? Because we're giving a ton of love to a Minnesota team that had some question marks coming in the playoffs. OKC had those question marks. They swept New Orleans, but no one's talking about SGA and the Thunder.
It's because they're not playing. Right? Okay. They're not playing. We're not seeing them. But, you know, I struggled all year, Joe, going back and forth on, is it going to be Minnesota or is it going to be OKC? Because there's no way it could be both.
Right.
There's no way both teams could go and be young and take off. Well, guess what? Joke's on you, Q. They're both really good. Right? Minnesota's in a great position, and OKC is in a position to take some big steps, and now they're going to start this series with Dallas. So, yeah, I was wrong. Both teams are really good, and they can make a deep run. I was picking either or. Clearly, it was both.
OKC Minnesota is a fascinating Western Conference Finals matchup. But again, for Luka, here it is, man. Like, he's right in that era, right in that window where it should be him transitioning as one of the marquee faces of the NBA. Like, the old guard's on its way out, and it feels like we're kind of skipping past Luka, even though he led the NBA in scoring this year and had a monster season. We're kind of skipping past him to go to SGA and to Ant Edwards and to Jalen Brunson, and it's like, whoa, 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 there was a pecking order here, and this guy didn't do anything wrong.
He's always, in my opinion, he's always crying, man. That bothers me. No, it does. It really does bother me a lot. And maybe it shouldn't. And I know that a lot of the guys are begging for foul calls, this, that, and the other. But Luka feels like he puts it on more. And on top of that, he's not jumping out the gym like Ant is, right? I mean, he's his own guy. He's not really necessarily even in shape all the time. Yeah. You know, even Jay Kidd, his head coach, has said, hey, to be a better player, you have to be in shape and you have to be dedicated to defense. He's never dedicated to defense, and he cries so much that, for me, I respect his talent. I know that he's a great player there in Dallas. They obviously made the big move and made the correct move when they traded to make sure that they could secure him when they got him. But for me and my money, he's just not my favorite player.
Big day to be a sports fan. We are loaded tonight. NBA playoffs, ESPN Radio, Mavericks at Thunder, Game 1. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. In the NHL, Carolina at the New York Rangers. The old blue shirts up 1-0 in that series. That's 7 p.m. on ESPN, immediately followed by Colorado at Dallas, 9:30 p.m. on ESPN. That is Game 1 of their Western Conference semifinal matchup. A much maligned NBA player finally decides to show up this postseason. One problem, it wasn't on the court. That's next. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fortenball. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Night on the hardwood.
Up the floor, James hammers a right hand dunk.
Let's get caught up with Carlin versus Joe's NBA to Z.
All right, he's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fortenball. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks for your time today. It's greatly appreciated. We are going to play a little NBA to Z, and for that, we welcome in a third voice to the conversation, producer extraordinaire Evan Wilner. Evan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, let's go through some things that happened off the court last night in the NBA. Let's start. Ben Simmons attended the Met Gala. He was carrying a big clock briefcase and was wearing something that I would say looked like something Jon Snow would wear in Game of Thrones. Any thoughts on this, Q? What did you think of what Ben Simmons was wearing last night at the Met Gala?
All I thought was that I just saw a member of the Fugees show up to this event. When I saw him dressed up, all I could think about was Lauryn Hill was about to come out. Ooh, la, la, la. You know what I mean? Like, I just thought that I was about to get down. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, the revival of Lauryn Hill. Let's go. Let's get it. And then I realized it was Ben Simmons, and I was, never mind. Just like his playing career. Disappointed.
I am coming all the way around on Ben Simmons. Like, when he was drafted number one overall in Philadelphia, I was a huge fan. It was like, this is going to be the guy that helps put us over the top. And then we all know how it went. And I obviously was very angry and I didn't like him very much. And I made all the same jokes everyone else was making. Now I'm kind of loving the guy again because I got to give him credit, man. His utter lack of regard for anything basketball related is kind of impressive to me. He's not trying to shut anyone up. He doesn't feel the need to push it. He doesn't feel the need to prove anybody wrong. He doesn't feel the need to try to show everyone he's not a bust. He's not a fraud. He's not having this joke of an NBA career. Like, to him, he's just living his life, right? He's out there. He's buying a mansion. He's selling a mansion. He's showing up at the Met Gala. You never talk about him in the context of basketball. He is more than content to straight up rob these NBA teams, do nothing in exchange, and go out and live his life off the court. I'm impressed. I'm impressed at the confidence that comes with being able to do something like that, because you'd think at one point you'd want to shut everybody up, knock down some shots, live up to your potential. He couldn't care less. It's kind of impressive to me.
Victor Wembanyama was named unanimous rookie of the year last night. Wemby earned all 99 first place votes. Thunder center Chet Holmgren was the runner-up with 98 second-place votes, and Charlotte's Brandon Miller was third. We talked about it. Big offseason for the Spurs. When Wendy has said it, a star might go to San Antonio to team up with Wembanyama. Joe, who's that star going to be?
Great question. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to be very patient with San Antonio this offseason. I think they're a very appealing spot because of Wemby, because of Popovich, because of no state income tax. I do wonder, do players who have the ability to move around look at Popovich as a guy they want to play for? Because some of these NBA teams, the players call the shots. In San Antonio, that's not how it works. It's Pop's show. Yeah. So it takes a special type of player to be willing to buy into something like that. naturally, one of the first names you throw out there is a guy like Paul George. I'd like to see something like that. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't have a better name for you. I think instead of one big superstar, it's going to be more a collection of guys who are good players who can come in and help round out that roster. That's my thought. It's a lousy answer, but that's where the direction I see him going.
Well, your lousy answer was like my lousy answer. I see Paul George as being a potential. I'll throw one more name out there, and I don't think he's a superstar at this stage of the game. I'll throw Klay Thompson. I don't think Klay Thompson is going to be a Warrior next year. I know the Magic are a team that's been talked about, but I think Klay could work there in San Antonio. I think Klay could work under Pop, and I definitely believe Klay could work with Wemby. So I'll say Klay Thompson or Paul George will be one of the two stars that show up in San Antonio to play alongside Wemby.
Ultimate team guy. Ultimate team guy. What if the Spurs make a play for Embiid and run it back with the Robinson-Duncan tandem?
I mean, that'd be good until Embiid gets injured.
It's mostly everyone looked at me like, what is he pitching
right
here?
Right.
Evan looked at me like, what are you doing?
This being the end of Victor Wembanyama's rookie year, let's celebrate one of the greatest moments on this show's history.
It's Victor Wembanyama Day.
The last one.
Yeah.
Last one for a while.
We talked about it before the basketball season started, that this show wanted to try to be ahead and focus on this, that this kid had the potential to be something great. Let's talk about it as much as possible. I think we could have done a little bit more. We got sidetracked with some stuff, obviously. You know, the NFL, a little bit of a popular sport, but Wemby was awesome this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what other takes.
Oh, how about Wembanyama?
Very rare that these guys deliver.
He was the guy that was talked about so many times, especially, I mean, here in Vegas, they had Summer League, and he didn't play very well in Summer League, and so there was a lot of questions coming out of that, and I think for the most people, they said, okay, let's be patient, and let's see what this kid can develop into, and the fact that he was healthy the majority of the season, what, 71 games he played, and the fact that he was able to play at the level he was and quickly develop into who he is, I think he impressed a lot of people.
Joe, you've asked for some continuity with teams around the NBA. Well, you're not going to get it with the 76ers. Here's team president Daryl Morey promising changes this offseason.
After an offseason where there's going to be a lot of change, just, you know, except for Nick Nurse, Joel, and Tyrese, and Paul, and Ricky, you know, we don't know for sure who's going to be back next year. So we feel like we're in the window where we have to win now. We're mostly focused on getting the best players that fit with Joel and Tyrese.
Am I supposed to respond to that?
Yeah.
I could not care less what anyone in that organization has to say about anything. This is where the Sixers shine. As soon as they're not playing basketball, this is where they're at their best. They got lots of words. They've got lots of marketing slogans. They've got lots of promises and conversations. They have everything but wins. They are so good at everything but wins. I don't care. I don't want to talk about it.
Look, man, if you're going to talk about it, be about it. That's all I'm saying.
No, like, that's not them.
I know, but if you're going to talk about it, be about it. I'm like Pat Riley. You know what I mean? If you ain't going to be on the court, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
If they're not going to be about it, I don't want to hear about it. Just go out there, do what you got to do, build that team. I love Joel Embiid, but I hate the fact that more times than not, he's going to be injured, and that's going to be something that's going to hurt the team in the long run. And so that's just what it is. They've got to find a way to shake something up. They've got to bring in a player or two. I know they talked about Jimmy Butler as a possibility, but I don't know what pushes the needle, and I don't know what gets them over the hump. But like I said, if you're going to talk about it, be about it.
Stop having press conferences. Rule number one in Philadelphia, no more press conferences, no more talking. Just go do the work and don't even address the media. Don't even address them. Just let them write whatever. Nobody cares. I'm so tired of this. What else?
We got another offseason ahead of James Harden watch. We had it last year in Philly. Now we get it with the Clippers. Here's President of Basketball Operations Lawrence Frank on the Clippers trying to keep Paul George and Harden.
Yeah, that's our intent. We want to retain those guys. We're hopeful we can, but also understand and respect the fact that they're free agents. You know, Paul has a decision with his option. James will be an unrestricted free agent. So our intent is to bring him back, but also realize that, you know, they're elite players and they'll have choices.
Q, should they bring these guys back?
Paul George, yeah, I can see them making every effort to bring him back, and I understand that they've worked on trying to bring him back, and I guess the contract is not right what he's seeing right now. James Harden, he can kick rocks for all I care, right? James Harden, I feel like how Joe feels about Philadelphia and what they're saying, I feel like that about James Harden, right? Just get over it, man. Just wherever he plays, they're not going to win. He's proven that time and time again, so whatever. I'm not worried about him at all.
I mean, is there a player in the NBA more on brand than James Harden? Let's go through his series from a scoring perspective, because it's not like he's going to give you a lot of defense. Here's Harden's scoring numbers in the series against Dallas. 28 points, 22 points, 21 points, 33 points. Okay? Series is tied 2-2. We're going to a pivotal game 5. 7 points. And then do or die game 6. 16 points on 5 of 16 shooting, 0 of 6 from deep. He went 1 of 13 from deep between Game 5 and Game 6. I have never in any sport, and if anyone has, please feel free to reach out on Twitter at Joe Fortenball or hit us up on the show. Is there a player more on brand than James Harden? Every single year you get to the playoffs, and the second it matters, he's gone. Like Kaiser Soze, he's just gone. It's incredible to me. How he, again, another guy who's like, I'm not erasing that narrative. I'm good.
Yeah. And he's not elite anymore either. He's really good.
He's going to be 35 in August.
Right. He's not that elite player that he was at one point where he was getting to the foul line 55 times a game and getting 58 points. I mean, he's not that guy, right? I mean, he still can create. He still can get buckets, but he's not that dude anymore.
When you are trying to find quality candidates, amazing that we would be doing this right off the James Harden conversation in free agency. When you're trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, and interviewing can become a job in and of itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Kirk Cousins. Was Kirk Cousins asking the wrong team about their future quarterback plans this offseason? If you haven't heard about this, you're going to want to stick around. Wild audio. That's coming up next. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fortenball. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah, this one kind of jumped off the page, so I figured I'd throw it in today's pizza money. The Dodgers in the first five innings, their run line, it's half a run. So you got to be winning at the conclusion of five innings in order to win this bet. I'll play it. It's minus 105. Okay, challenge accepted. Yamamoto's pitching for the Dodgers. He's given up exactly zero runs in three of his last five starts. Those other two starts, he gave up three runs. Like, people remember that opening day game he pitched for the Dodgers over in Korea when he got shelled. And then everyone kind of forgot if you're a casual baseball fan. And since then, he's been really freaking nasty. And also, the Dodgers are very good. Meanwhile, they're playing the Marlins. I don't know if you're following the Marlins. They just dropped 2 of 3 to the A's. Good for us on this show, over 57 and a half wins, neither here nor there at the moment. But we're basically in a situation where we're going to play the first five run line. We need to win by half a run after five innings. We've got good pitching. They stink. Challenge accepted. Minus 105 is the play. Which, by the way, Q, and this is non-pizza money related, Shohei Ohtani now leads Major League Baseball in home runs with 11. He's hit a home run. Each of his last six hits have been home runs.
That's fantastic, man. Shohei is.
What do I do with that?
Yeah, man, you let him keep hitting home runs.
It's like Evan's like, yeah, by the way, Ohtani, each of his last six hits are home runs. It's like
that's wild.
That's probably not right. It's like, no, that's absolutely right. You're an idiot for questioning it. Each of his last six hits. By the way, you know what this highlights? All you need is a little bit of time and no one cares about your controversy anymore.
Facts.
It wasn't that long ago we were wondering if he was betting on baseball and if his former interpreter was the guy placing the bets for him. Now we don't even care. We have literally moved so far past that story. As I talk about this right now, people are probably thinking, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And then other people are like, yawn, not interested in this conversation. That's it. That's crisis management in a nutshell. And I've been trying to say this for years. And there are a lot of people out there who make bank as working in the crisis management industry. Basically, just like shut up and kind of apologize and then just don't do anything for a while. And it will all go away. This all goes back to when Tiger Woods crashed his car that Thanksgiving weekend. You remember that? Oh, Tiger didn't say anything for like 3 months. And all he did was let suspense and speculation build to a fevered pitch. Whoever was managing him at that time, awful job, because all it did was build that story up more. If he had just come out and been like, look, there was a situation, I don't want to get into it, really sorry, setting a bad example, ABCD, and then just quietly go away for a little bit, we all move on. Like, we have such short attention spans. You can get away with so much. You just have to let some other idiot make a mistake so that they take the headlines from you, and then you quietly go about your business and hit 6 home runs in with 6 consecutive hits. Like, that's what you go do. But no one even cares about that story anymore.
No.
It's wild.
No, it's because Shohei is a fantastic player. He's hit 6 home runs, his last 6 hits. And, oh, by the way, he just kind of played it off like,
I made a mistake trusting this guy, and we're all like, I don't know, man. Some of this is really suspicious. And, oh, wait, March Madness is about to end, and it's springtime. Yep. And, you know, I got some the NFL draft. And then before you know it, it's like, man, I forgot all about that. Yep. Job well done to everyone involved in that as we continue to move as far away from it as humanly possible. All right, I want you to listen to this. Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated, he's covered the NFL at a high level for a very long time. He was on with Pat McAfee earlier today, providing some insight into the Kirk Cousins situation with Minnesota and the eventual signing in Atlanta. Take a listen to this.
The Vikings really never backed down from the idea that, yeah, we could take your successor in the 2024 draft. So part of the way that Kirk and his people looked at this was, okay, so if we sign this contract that doesn't guarantee everything in 2025, that they get out of after 2024, and they may be taking my successor in April, well, then I may just be the quarterback here for 1 year, and they may trade me after the year. They could theoretically cut me after the year if the young rookie comes in and kills it. And so he goes to market thinking, I want to find a place that's going to commit to me as the starting quarterback for the next few years, and I want that reflected in the contract. And the Falcons were able to do that by guaranteeing not just 2024, also all of 2025 and part of 2026.
Got it.
And the thought was, okay, going forward, now I'm going to be the starting quarterback here for the next 3 years at least, maybe for the next 4 years. And he talked about the idea of retiring as a Falcon. And never was it related to him that they could take a quarterback in the top 10.
It's like, why would you ask?
Right.
Why would you think to ask when they're giving you the big money contract? They need a QB. You're available. You're talking huge numbers. There would be no suspicion whatsoever that this team is also going to go out and use a top 10 pick on a quarterback. And then they did. Like
there's no suspicion. Like, I understand why they wouldn't ask, but I also question why they wouldn't ask, because that was a situation in Minnesota. It's almost like one of those you just want to reassure. Right? It's like it's like you're dating somebody and you assume that they're not married, but you just ask anyway. Hey, by the way, you're not married, right? Just to get the confirmation, right?
Yes.
Like, when you first meet someone, sometimes you just assume, and assumptions aren't always good.
Great point. So Cousins should have been like, you know, just look, this might sound ridiculous, I know.
Right.
But just indulge me for a moment. You're not going to use that number 8 pick on a quarterback, are you? And you're not going to, like, trade up and get a quarterback. Like, I want to make sure my bases are covered. And then Atlanta's like, no, why would we do that? We're giving you all this money. And then Atlanta goes and does it.
Plus, Joe, they gave him the money. They gave him the money. So at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter who they selected and who's sitting behind him or the other. He's got the guaranteed money, which in the NFL is all that matters. And Kirk Cousins, of all people in the league, has worked the game of guaranteed money better than anybody.
I saw you in Detroit for the draft. We were kind of working opposite ends of the spectrum, so we didn't get a chance to do any work together. Where were you on this when this deal went down, when they drafted Penix eighth overall? Like, what was your initial reaction?
I was shocked because I thought that was the Raiders pick at 13 if he was available. So I kind of went into the draft thinking the Raiders would select either a quarterback, an offensive tackle, or a cornerback. And I had, you know, Penix in mind, Fuaga in mind, and Terrion Arnold in mind. And then they pick other. But when Penix goes number eight, I was, whoa. Okay, it was like when the guy that we used to reference as Diddy called Biggie and said we're on the way to Cali. He goes, whoa, Cali? That was my reaction. Like, whoa, Atlanta? Eight? Okay. Like, I was pretty shocked, as everybody in Radio Row at the draft was. It was a big right over the whole room when Penix went eight, because nobody saw that coming.
And again, but here's the thing. Again, I have to bring this up. Schefter had it in his Nuggets column a week before it happened, and he was pretty clear. He just mentioned it. It wasn't like it was the lead, but he mentioned in a Nuggets column, like, by the way, there's some very real buzz. I'm paraphrasing here, but there's some very real buzz about the Falcons being interested in Michael Penix at eight. Right. And I remember we pointed that out in our pre-show meeting, and I was like, why? And everyone's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, why would they just gave Cousins a bunch of money. Why would they be interested? Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, I don't know. You know, Schefter wrote it. It's like, yeah, right. I know Schefter wrote it. Schefter's the best in the business. But I don't understand the why from Atlanta's perspective. I'm not questioning the report. I'm questioning Atlanta. And then they went and did it. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the hell is going on here? And then they came out with the big sell. Hey, look, we're good at this position for the next 5 years. It's like, well, then just keep drafting quarterbacks so you're good for the next 15 years. How about that?
Look, that's not a bad approach, though. Because teams like, I mean, look, I cover the Raiders. I say it all the time. They've been looking for a quarterback for many, many moons. And they still looking for a quarterback.
Covering the Raiders, you mentioned all the players you thought they could draft. Where was Brock Bowers on that order?
Wasn't on my list at all.
It wasn't
not one time in the whole lead up to the draft did I ever say, you know what? I think Brock Bowers might be in play for the Raiders. Never once. That was my fault. Never did it.
An up-close and personal look for everybody as to how things work with the Raiders, whether they're in Los Angeles, Oakland, or Las Vegas. He's Q Myers. I'm Joe Fornball. Thanks for checking us out. Freddie and Harry are next, right here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.